Now, Master, this is your time, a wonderful, awesome fall day. We give thanks for Reformation Sunday, oh God, we just give thanks for the kingdom. May the words that I speak bring you praise and never, never shame, enlighten our minds, soften our hearts, and unite us, that we, your sons and daughters, might live out the gospel so the world might see us bear wonderful fruit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The sermon for this blessed morning, following the greatest commandment. Following the greatest commandment. When I was 10 years old, I lived with my grandparents in Savannah, Tennessee. My grandparents did not have a vehicle. And so my brother Vincent and I were the gophers. We had to go to the stores and do the traveling for my grandparents who are older. And one Saturday, my grandmother sent me up the road, as we say in the country. You always go up the road to the grocery store. So I went up the road with my grandmother's grocery list. And as I got closer to the store, there was a section of houses where most of my grandmother's, on her side, her relatives lived. And as I got closer to the store, I heard this blood-curdling scream. And I saw two men run out of this shotgun house, and they ran across the street near the store. And there's a wood pile, and one man grabbed an axe and one man grabbed a 2x4. At the same time, they hit, like you could hear the pop of the 2x4 and the pop of the axe. And I could literally see the axe slip in and out of the man's head. These were my mother's cousins, my grandmother's cousins, an uncle and a nephew. And at that moment, they probably literally killed each other. The uncle was sent to jail without any medical care. He died in jail. The nephew died at the hospital with that gashing open hole in his head from the axe. And when my grandmother found out exactly what happened, her words haunt me 60 years later. Her words haunt me when she said, "Don't." They're family. They're supposed to love each other, not kill each other. They're supposed to love each other, not kill each other. And we're living in a world where it seems like we hear that echo of mothers screaming as they watch their sons and daughters being shot or brutalized by gangs or sometimes even by law enforcement. As they see people shot on the freeways and highways, there's so many things are happening. It's politicians turning on each other and do so many crazy things. And mothers are screaming out, "We're family, we're supposed to love each other." And Jesus tells us, what is the great commandment, the greatest commandment? You know, all the time scholars and other leaders are trying to trap him and get him to say something that they thought would have violated the Hebrew literature and the writings of the time. They just knew that he was not who he said he was. They were just trying to trap him. But he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Next, love your neighbor as yourself. Probably the most neglected text in the Bible. We talk a lot about it. We echo the sentiment. What a powerful song. Talk about a man who does love the Lord. Here is one. For some, that is a true statement. For some, it's just a song, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so how? Many people ask the question, how in the world do you do that? Do you just say, "I love you, Lord," and move on? How do you do that? What does it mean? How do you unravel that package? What does it mean to truly love God with all your heart and soul and mind? Simply put, it means you offer yourself to your master totally. All you got to give, you place it in God's hands and say, "Here I am, a vessel. Lord, use me." But in order to love God with all our heart and soul and mind, we have to spend time, key word in our society. We have to spend time with God. If you got a spouse that you say you love and you never spend any time with the spouse, you never have date nights, you never do things together, you're always out with the boys or she's always out with the girls, there's no valid proof of loving. If you got children that you don't spend time with, you got relatives, a family, a mother, father, you don't do anything with them, you just say, I love you. If you love folk, if you love God, you spend time with God. How do we do that? What are the ways we spend time with God? Well, we spend time with God through other people God has touched. It's called fellowship. We find every chance we got to fellowship with God's people. We know we work, we have things to do, we're busy, but fellowship is so significant. It is so important. I love God with all my heart and soul, so I fellowship. Also fellowship with God. I got a prayer closet. I've got a place where I get away. I have a prayer closet and I don't just talk to God. I listen. See, as we pray, prayer is more than just talking. It's listening because God's got stuff God's got to tell you. Roger, son, Cynthia, Judy, Paul, Dave, here's something I need you to hear and understand. You got to read his word. You got a Bible, it's for a purpose. Time apart, separated from a crowded, busy world. Remember when Otis Redding said, sitting on the dock of the bay. He says, I can't do what 10 people tell me to do. So I guess I'm just going to sit here on the dock of the bay just watching the chips roll in. So frustrated with everybody will tell you how to dress, how to talk, how to walk, where to buy your house. People, all the voices crowding in on you. You can't just sit on the dock of the bay. You got to find a place to sit where God can talk to you and say to you, this is what I need from you. You got a relationship. You love me. You show it. You spend time with me. You get up in the morning driving in your car. You're having church. You're praising God because you got a hoopty that will go somewhere. You got a car with gas in it. You got a car with a heater, with air conditioning. You got a car that will get you from A to B. Praise God. I'm celebrating. You go to your job. God, I'm celebrating. I got a job. You go to your school, I'm celebrating. My kids have a safe school to go to. Everything in life, we celebrate. We give thanks to God because God provides it. Nobody else. It's not the government. It's not anybody else. It's not your friends. It's not your family. It is God who provides. So if you love God, you spend time with God. This is love your neighbor, love people, love your neighbor as yourself. And we have a hard time understanding what that word neighbor means. Love people. We do a good, there's a thin line. A blues singer said there's a thin line between the kind of love we talk about on Saturday night and the kind of love we talk about on Sunday morning. Remember the blues song, If I Don't Love You, Baby, Grits Ain't Roasters, Eggs Ain't Poultry, and Mona Lisa Was a Man. We talk about that erotic love. You know, on Saturday night, we boogie. And it's amazing that Saturday nights now are more valid than Sunday morning because you got people waiting in line to get in the club. You got people waiting in line to spend $8, $10 on Top Chef liquor drinks. You got people waiting in line to party, waiting in line to pay the cover charge, waiting in line and saving money for Saturday night. That erotic kind of love, let's boogie down. The love that God is talking about for neighbor is that it's not the erotic love, it's the agape love. I love you unconditionally. I love you as my brothers and sisters. I love you. I may disagree with you over policy, over many things, but I love you because God has created you. And I love you because we are part of the family of God. I love you. And when I say I love you, I want what's best for you. As politicians argue and fuss and fight, we're the only country without paid leave for folk to take care of their families and to do things, and other countries do it. And we, in this country, we bought into this sense of it's just welfare, it's entitlement when you do that. If all the other countries see a spiritual mandate to do it, And we don't do it because it's politically not expedient for us to do it. If we live our lives based on what's politically right, not what's morally right, what's spiritually right, we are already in trouble. If I love my neighbor as myself, I want what's best for my neighbor, and I demand childcare, I demand the benefits, I demand that people have adequate housing, I demand that they have medical care. And some of us who have one paycheck away from poverty stand in solidarity with the folk talking about entitlement and stuff. Be very careful who you label. Be very careful who you point to who's trying to get something for nothing, because we live in a world where most people are, will take something for nothing. We live in a world where you got benefits that you don't see, which really relate to the same benefits you're talking about others getting. So be very careful how we criticize folk out there in the world who are hurting, who need things. Because they didn't do it like you did, it doesn't mean it's wrong. We have to say, we want what's best for God's people, and we can sit down and talk about how we get there, not dividing the line in the sand and say, those on one side and those on the other. There's a table that God's people come to talk about what's best for all God's people. And we make decisions based on what God wants, not what we want. How do we love God's people? We got to see them first. How many people do you miss? How do you treat waitresses? And how do you treat the people? I'm amazed sometimes at how we treat waitresses and the have-nots. Worry them to death, don't even want to leave a tip. Just worry people that were the maids in the hotels, don't want to leave a tip. Just because they are not up to us, they're not our equals. Don't have our intelligence, our educational level, or live in our neighborhoods, or it gets to be a class world. The God I serve does not see class. The God I serve does not see skin color. The God I serve is not concerned about who sits on the right and left. He's concerned about who sits in the middle and serves. He's not concerned about the high and the mighty. He's concerned about those left in the valley, and we have to be concerned about those left in the valley. Right now, we fight and fuss over so many things, and it shows that we're not following the greatest commandment. First and foremost, we're not loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And you've heard me say this many a times. How much you love something shows where you spend your time and energy on. And if we had to grade ourselves about our time and energy and our resources. Sister Mayo preached so wonderfully well last week, and she said, you make these church vows. You pledge to do these things for the church. If you were graded each year on if you're doing what you pledged to do, what would your grade be? You pledged to give your money to the church. The preacher don't have to say that. You pledged to give your resources. You basically pledge to be a tither. You pledge to understand the gospel and give your percentage of money. You pledge to do that. Question is, are you keeping your pledge? Well, Reverend Hobson, you stop preaching and go in the middle and now. You just don't talk to me about my stuff. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, if nobody had talked to me about my stuff, I'd be bound for hell right now. Because if I truly love the Lord, I give myself and my stuff will follow. How do you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul? You see people and it never gets to be about you. One of my friends tells a powerful story about living in Nebraska and a lot like me living in Savannah. Her brothers had to go to the store for their mom on the weekends. And so mom sent two brothers into town to get grocery stuff. And the oldest brother looked and saw that the local drugstore had this contest and you could win this super, just draw, put your name in and they'll draw it out and you win this super duper ice cream sundae. I mean, it was massive. 8 or 10 piles of ice cream, whipped cream, cherries, all that stuff. And the oldest boy put his name in there on the way back through. He discovered that he had won that super duper ice cream sundae. And he said, this is the best day of my life. God has given, oh Lord, thank you. I won this super duper Sunday. And he said, when they gave it to him, it darn near filled the whole table. It was so huge. And he said, his brother was smiling and beaming, sitting there with him. And he got that spoon. And he said, there was a cherry on the top. He said, well, Vic likes cherries. And he handed his brother the cherry and he started eating. And every time he ate a big scoop of ice cream, he said, oh, this is the best day. This is the best day of my life. And when he finished the ice cream, he got his packages and he and his brother headed home. And he got in, he couldn't wait to tell his mom what a wonderful day he had. He said, Mom, I am so full. I'm almost sick. I ate all those scoops of ice cream. I ate it all, Mama. And she looked at him and she looked at his little brother and she said, how many spoons did you ask for? How many spoons did you ask for? He never thought about his little brother would like some ice cream too. He handed him the cherry and he ate all the ice cream. And I'm asking you, church, today, how many spoons are you asking for? I'm asking you today, when the church needs you, how many spoons are you asking for? I'm asking you when the world needs you, how many spoons are you asking for? I'm asking you when you have benefited from all the world has to give, I'm asking you, are you passing it on? If you love your neighbor as yourself, are you passing it on? I want you to think back in your mind's eye about all the open doors, all the blessings you've gotten, whether it be Pell Grants or scholarships or whatever it's been, or somebody just handed you $5 when you didn't have any money. I want you to think about all you have been given and think about, does it match what you have given? What God has blessed you with, does it match your blessings of others? That's a question for Christians today. We got to stop just singing it. We got to stop just preaching it. We got to stop just talking it. We got to walk it. We got to walk it. We got to live it. We have to live it. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference when you are willing to live that out. It makes a difference. There was a Friday thing, this past Friday. I was so blessed. Saw these black men with these shirts on and it got, I think, 50 million hits around the country on YouTube. 8 or 10 black men decided that they would go to the school and they would be dads on duty. And their presence transformed the school because they talked to the young men. They loved them. They held them accountable. They studied with them. They practiced with them. But more importantly, they had their presence every day to go to the school and stand there and say, hey, we are here with you because we care about what's going on in your life. They were showing that they love their neighbors and love God's people as themselves. And what they said is, we live in a world where we need one another. We need the voices of the dads, all dads. We need the voices of all mothers. We need to show the world that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul, and we are going to love our neighbors. The question for us today, are we loving our neighbors as ourselves? Are we seeing our neighbors? Are we seeing the people, the waitresses? Are we seeing the garbage collectors? Are we seeing all these folk who do things for us? It's the last time you've been given on Christmas, you've given your garbage collectors a card to Starbucks or your mailman or your newspaper person. When's the last time you've given your favorite waitress who's struggling with 8-10 kids, maybe even one child, just giving her money to buy a book for her child? When's the last time you've done something beyond yourself? When's the last time you said, wow, I have been so blessed, I'm going to be a blessing to somebody else? I got $20,000 worth of scholarships in my life. I'm going to give a $1,000 scholarship. I think I preached about it before. The young lady whose parents were Jamaican immigrants, who ended up with a free ride to Harvard or Yale or somewhere, Then she had $40,000 extra money that she could take and do anything. She could have bought a car, lived in a luxurious apartment. She had a friend who had no money for college, and she gave, her parents could have used it to upgrade their house. But she gave the $40,000 to her friend to go to college, and the parents applauded it. The parents didn't jump up and say, we could get us a better car. We could get us a newer refrigerator. We could paint the house. We could add on. They applauded what she had done because they understood that the blessing she had given, it was okay to be a blessing to somebody else. So I'm asking, are we being a blessing to the world? Or is it still about me? I don't want to go to my grave with people saying, you know, it was all about Reverend Hobson. It was never about any of, he was never there when we needed him. He never prayed for me. He never cared for me. It was just about him. You know, what he could get out of it. Do you want anybody to say that about you, that was just about him, about them, about whatever? You know, we live in a world today where you can do a million things and like the 10 lepers, nobody will come back by to say, thank you for what you've done. But if that's all you live for somebody else to thank you and validate you, and at the end of the day, God is going to give you all you require and all that you need. And then when you hit your lowest point, I promise you, you will see God's face. When you think nobody cares, you will see God's face. This month of October, for my family, for many of us, is a month that I will never, never forget. It's painful, painful situations in my family, Cynthia's family side, just painful things. If we did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't know where we'd be, because it would be like two sparrows in a hurricane, everything coming at you all at once. But you know, we went west to Cynthia's mother's house to take care of some business, and we're tired and worn out and thinking, oh my God, what in the world? What in the world we're going to do? We're just too tired to go eat, too tired to do anything. So we got home, and on our kitchen table was on our table, outside table, was a total full meal, dessert and everything, that somebody had left on the table for us to say that we love you, we care about you. All the hell that had gone through for the whole month of October, all that we had faced, to see that kind of love back there that we did not expect, to see that kind of love on our table, was God's way of saying, we got this. You got family, you got friends, you got folk who love you. Fool, don't you know, no matter what hell you go through, you can't give up, you can't stop. Because it matters what you do. All the craziness in being a pastor, all the craziness in being a pastor's spouse, all the craziness is being patriarch of your family, all the things that come flooding in on you, God will say to you, you matter. And to say that we ain't got to worry about the table being set because somebody has said, I'm going to do this for you today, says that folk understand what it means to be a part of the family of God and love your neighbor. So our challenge, as we live in a crazy, divided political world with all kind of crazy things going on, we still gotta face the gospel. First, love ourselves, because God truly loves you. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And at the end of the day, no matter what people say, no matter what they do, God's got this. God's gonna make it do what it do, baby. You guys got this. No matter what you're going through, God's got this. No matter what you face, God's got this. You might have the October from hell like we had, but God's got this. I promise you that if you're faithful, that you love people and love God, everything's gonna be all right. It's your choice. Do you live in a silo? Do you open yourself up to the kingdom of God, so be it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, you know what we go through. You know the challenges. You know how crazy the world gets, and you sometimes you just feel taken for granted. But Lord, we just give thanks that when we feel that way, something pops up and you show us that the world is going to get better. The sun's going to come up. Roses are going to bloom. For those who are listening and who are on Facebook, who need to know that they can be a part of this awesome kingdom and family of God, contact us. You have given you the means and mechanism to contact us. You could even contact me for counseling and prayer as a pastor. But if you are far away from us and you see the symbol of the cross, or you can say it's a Christian church, any pastor and congregation will embrace you and help you on your journey. We want you at seminary, but if that's not possible, just be able to say to somebody, I have repented of my sins. I've asked Jesus to come into my life. I need further guidance, and it will be done. Those who will be with us doing glory sightings, the same is true. Blessed be to God, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.